Okay, let's get it out. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. We got a lot to go. We got a lot. And remember, I asked you last week, if you were here, how many of you want to learn the Bible, know the Bible better? And we are going to give you more than enough information and encouragement and direction to do that, but you have to do it on your own. You have to do it on your onesie, savvy? Okay. Does anybody know what that means, savvy? Anybody know what that's from? The Pirates movie? My daughter just drives that thing into my head. Dad, say savvy at church. It's like I'm a guinea pig. Do this at church. In January, we're going to be at the Marriott. We are going to start and go through the whole Bible. It is very important for you to understand before we start that, and we'll continue to reinforce this throughout the whole series, that the Bible is God's Word. Last week, we looked at Bible science. If you weren't here, you should get the CD. And by the way, CDs for all the sermons are available in the Rock Pile. And they're on the radio, and they're on the internet. You could listen to them anytime, any day on the internet. Well, Bible science talked about all the, well, not all, but several scientific statements, science-based statements in the Bible that God made. The Bible is not a science book, but it's scientifically accurate. That means anything related to science that God says is true, because God made it. Okay, so that's last week. Get the sermon. I don't want to get into that. But when you listen to that sermon, you realize, man, God didn't know what he was talking about as it relates to science. This book is supernatural. Today, we're going to look at Bible prophecy as it specifically pertains to Jesus Christ and him being the Messiah. It is critical for us to understand these things, because if we understand that God really wrote this book, then when he says something that we don't understand, when he says something we don't not necessarily understand, but it's beyond us, we can go, you know what, I trust him. Because I trust that this is God's word, because it has supernaturally been written. And so we're going to look at that thing. First, I want to ask you a question. I want to give you an illustration. If I was, or someone was, to cover the state of Texas with silver dollars, 2 feet deep, the whole state, that's a whole lot of silver dollars. Amen? You cover the whole state 2 feet deep, and you take one of those silver dollars, and you put an X on it with a pen, and you hide it somewhere in the state. Top, middle, bottom, don't matter. Okay, so I don't know how many silver dollars up that is, but you know, maybe 100 silver dollars, I'm guessing, and all over the state. And then you took someone in a plane, flew over the state, blindfolded them, and they jumped out in a parachute, and you said, you have to find that silver dollar that I marked on the first try. Okay? The odds of that happening are the same as the odds of Jesus fulfilling 8 prophecies. He's fulfilled over 300. So when we look at some of these prophecies today, you have to understand that the odds of someone fulfilling the ones that we're going to look at, and we're only going to look at probably 30, the odds of someone fulfilling them are beyond impossible. Matter of fact, there's a mathematical number. Once you get past it, it's deemed impossible. And so why is this important for us to understand? Because if these prophecies were written all throughout the Old Testament by all these different people on 3 different continents that didn't know each other, and they prophesied dates and times and actions and what would happen to Christ when he was born, where he was born, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and Jesus fulfills them, you have to go, man, who could have known that? And not only did not one person write the book, all these guys would have had been cahoots to know something before it would happen. And so when you realize that, you realize, man, God did write this book. And if someone starts to question, is Jesus Messiah? Let me show you these verses where it talks about 1,000 years before he lived, what would happen to him when he died, or when he lived, or how he lived. And when you realize that, you realize, man, this book is supernatural and Jesus is who he is. I better get my life together. So let's look at our notes real quick. Prophet. A prophet means mouthpiece of God. That's all prophet means. It's not necessarily someone who predicts the future. Someone who says, thus saith the Lord. I was talking to a guy who's like my mentor, and we were talking about preaching, and he says, whenever you go someplace to preach, especially if I go out of town for a specific event, I always like to ask the people, what do you want me to talk about? Because I want God to tell me what he wants me to say to those people at that time, instead of just pulling out a sermon I did before. And so he says, I want to know, Lord, I want to be your mouthpiece on that day. Next one, a prophecy is thus saith the Lord's statement. Anytime you read the Old Testament, thus saith the Lord, that is God saying it. That person's just using their voice. It's a holy man of God speaking as they're moved by the Holy Spirit. That's all the prophet is. Okay? Next one. Messianic prophecy is thus saith the Lord comments pertaining to the future Messiah. Very simple. Let me tell you something about the future Messiah. Now, before we look at the rest of this front page of your lesson plan, turn over to the back, and we're going to look at a few. And again, this is homework for you. A lot of homework. Yeah. Maybe I really don't want to learn the Bible. We're going to see the Messianic prophecy on the left, the Old Testament scripture where it says that, and the New Testament fulfillment. And these are not exhausted. This is not all of them, but this is a bunch. One, the Messiah will be a descendant of Eve, which is one prophecy, a descendant of Abraham, which is another prophecy, Judah, another prophecy, and the son of David. Jesus is called the son of David. And you see those verses in the Old Testament where it says that, and in the New Testament where it's fulfilled. The next one, Messiah will be a prophet like Moses. The Messiah will be the son of God. The Messiah will be resurrected. Listen, not only will he die, but he's going to get up. That's like a five-year-old kid, not necessarily exactly like this, imagine a five-year-old kid saying, Mommy, when I grow up, I'm going to get married. Okay, son, very good. But my wife is going to be 5'3½". Okay, son, whatever. She's going to have blonde hair. Actually, it's going to be brown, but it's going to be, streak blonde. Okay, son. And Mommy, when she's 27, she's going to get cancer. And they're going to pronounce her dead. But then, Mommy, God's going to heal her. She's going to live. Son, what have you been smoking? Why did God write that the Messiah is going to die and rise from the dead? God is going to back himself into a corner. It would have been simple if the Old Testament had said the Messiah is going to come from Israel. That would have been easy. But he said, no. I'm going to tell you who descendants he's going to be. I'm going to tell you that he's going to be a prophet like Moses, that's general. He's going to be a son of God. He's going to be resurrected. He's going to be crucified. Look at the next one, the Messiah's crucifixion. Now, understand this. In Psalm 22, it talks about the crucifixion. In Isaiah 53, it talks about the crucifixion with pretty much detail. This is 800 years before the crucifixion was invented. Did you hear what I just said? This is 800 years before the crucifixion was even invented. That's only God can do that. How are you going to describe something that doesn't even exist? Look at the next one. The Messiah will be accused by false witnesses, hated and without cause, and betrayed by a friend. Why would Jesus pick 12 disciples, one of them being Judas, who would betray him? Why? Because it fulfilled the plan. And isn't it interesting that God put Judas over the money? You know why? He doesn't want us to worship money. He says, Judas, here, go ahead, you take me. I know you're going to rip me off. You know what? Because I'm trusting in my Father. It doesn't mean you're irresponsible with money. It was all part of his plan. But we can sometimes put too much importance on things. And God says, let me show you what's really important. It's obeying my Father. Look at the next one. The Messiah will ascend to heaven. The Messiah will be given vinegar and gall to drink. The Messiah will be born of a virgin. Not only is he going to be born of a woman, but he's going to be born of a virgin. How does that happen? I was listening to or reading something about the Christmas story the other day. I probably was reading it. And I read that Jesus was born of a virgin. I started thinking about that. Step back. Think about that. That's like, wow. How did that happen? A virgin is pregnant. Yeah. Imagine being Joseph. Yeah, right, Mary. Imagine your daughter. Dad, I'm telling you, we didn't do anything. Yeah, okay, whatever. Next one, the Messiah's first spiritual work will be in Galilee. Very specific. The Messiah will make blind see, deaf hear, mute talk, and the dead will be raised. The Messiah will be beaten, mocked, spat on, and silent before his accusers. The Messiah will be crucified with criminals and buried with the rich. Not only is he going to be crucified, not only is this going to happen to him when he's crucified, this is who he's going to be crucified with, and this is where he's going to be buried. This stuff is so specific. Look at the next one. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means Beth. Lahem is bread. Bethel is the house of bread. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Next one. The Messiah will enter Jerusalem. Why is the house of bread significant is because Jesus is the bread of life. He was born at the house of bread.
Well, that's just a coincidence.
Okay. The Messiah will enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey. The Messiah will be sold for 30 pieces of silver and forsaken by his disciples in the Passion movie that is coming out in February. Judas takes these 30 shekels and he, after they betray Christ, after they arrest him, he comes back and he gives it back because he feels so guilty, and they throw it at him. I mean, it's just shameful. And then the whole story, these little kids run him out of town. He hangs himself from all the guilt of betraying Jesus. That movie's deep. When that movie comes out, oh my goodness. All these things happen. There's 300 of them. When Jesus rose from the dead, he walked around for 40 days. The number of testing in the Bible is what? That's a great quiz question. 40 days. He fasted 40 days. It rained 40 days. They walked in the wilderness 40 days. Moses and Elijah fasted 40 days. 40. You're in your mother's womb for 40 days. Not 40 weeks, not 99 months. Jesus walked around after he rose from the dead for 40 days. He showed himself to people, wanting to make sure that he gave everyone a fair opportunity to see that he rose from the dead. He did all that. If he was faithful, here's the point of all this. If he was faithful to do all those things, we could have looked at all those verses, but I want to go in a different direction. If he was faithful to do all those things, the things that he has yet to do, because there's still stuff he's yet to do, he's going to do. If he's done all that, there's five things we're going to look at tonight that he says he's going to do that we better be aware and be ready that he's still yet to come. Look on the left side of the page, or the front side of your page. It says, if he was faithful, then he will be faithful later. Five prophecies yet to be fulfilled. One, the rapture of the church. Woo. Yeah, baby. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The rapture of the church, the concept of Christians being caught up in the air and other people being left behind. You don't really believe it's going to happen? Well, look at verse 16. Chapter 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We always tell you when we're going to be at the Marriott in January, don't come here, because you may think this happened. They're gone. There's no trace. There's no traffic. There's no people. I got left behind. And it'd be really messed up if you come in here on January 4th and you see a bunch of shoes laying around. Like people just got taken out of their shoes. Keys left in cars. That would freak you out, wouldn't it? It'd freak me out. If that happens, repent. On the spot. Now, you may say, well, I don't believe it's going to happen. Okay, write this down, because we put space in here for you. There's seven raptures in the church. There's seven raptures in the Bible before this one. I'm going to give them to you. I'm not going to give you exactly where they're at, because I want you to go look them up yourself. Enoch, Genesis 5. Find that one. Enoch was raptured. He was walking. The Bible says he was walking with God, and then he was not because God took him. Imagine you don't die. You get raptured. Imagine you walk, you're doing something, you're preaching, you're sharing your faith, you're praying for somebody, you're serving ministry, feeding the homeless. All of a sudden, God says, and these two dudes walk up to you. And they go, Jimmy, what, who are you?
It's time to go.
Where are we going? It's time. We're going home. That's right. We're going home. I got to do this. No. Genesis chapter 5. Next one. Elijah was raptured. 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah, remember that? He got taken up in a chariot of fire. A chariot of what? That's a great quiz question. A chariot of fire. What is that like? It's made of fire and you're in it. And it's just taking you up to heaven. The Bible says that. Well, I don't know about that. Hey, the Bible, Do you know there's so much we don't know about anything? We don't know. There's so much we don't know about us, much less the world, much less spiritual things. Next one. Acts chapter 8. Philip was doing a baptism. All of a sudden, whoop, he was gone. Found himself in another city. He was caught up. Next one, Paul. 2 Corinthians 12. He was caught up to the third heaven. Whoop, taken up, brought back down. 2 Corinthians 12, Paul. Next one, Jesus was raptured. He ascended to heaven right in front of their eyes. Whoop. Mark 16. John in Revelation chapter 4. John in Revelation chapter 4 was raptured. Caught up, whoop, came back down. And lastly, in Revelation chapter 11, the two witnesses in Revelation. No one knows who the two witnesses are. Two witnesses, Revelation chapter 11. Here's what's interesting about the two witnesses. No one knows who they are. They had supernatural powers. They had supernatural powers. Check this out. All the people that were raptured that I mentioned all came back. They went up and came down. Except Elijah and Enoch. They haven't come back down yet. These could be the two witnesses. Just a theory. Next one. It's going to happen to you. The rapture. Number two, the second coming. The second coming. The rapture and the second coming are two different things. In the rapture, Jesus comes for his church. In the second coming, he comes with his church. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. In the rapture, he comes for his church. We are taken up to meet him in the clouds, to be with the Lord in the air. And in Revelation, in the second coming, he comes with his church to judge the nations. Chapter 19, verse 11, it says, Revelation is the last book of the Bible. What's the first book of the Bible? What's the last book? What God started in Genesis, he's going to finish in Revelation. We're going to see that in about 10 minutes. Then I saw, verse 11, heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it was faithful and true, one of the many names of Jesus. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns because he's the King of Kings. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. Imagine that. He's got a name. We know him as, you know, the bread of life, the resurrection of life, Jesus, the Lord, the Christ, the faithful and true, righteous one, etc., etc., etc. And he says, I got a whole nother name you don't know nothing about. You can't handle that name. That's why I can't tell you. If I told you that name, you melt. You ever hear someone say, if I tell you, I got to kill you? In this one, if I tell you, it will kill you. Look what it says. In verse 13, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us as Jesus. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen and white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, which is the Word of God. The spiritual armor of God, the sword, is the Word of God. That with it he should strike the nations. He himself will rule with the rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name. Written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know what the Bible says? That every knee will bow. Now, when that says that, it doesn't mean that every person would do this. This is like at a football game. Every knee will bow means both your knees. At least that's how I understand it. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. You know what it means to be confessed? It means to agree. Everybody's tongue is going to agree, Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? That everybody's going to say either, my Lord, or, oh no, the Lord. Either you're going to be saved and you're going to be glad to see him, or you're going to be doomed and you're going to be scared to death. But you will know he's God. Us in here who are parents, every now and then we got to give our children a Jesus is Lord speech. No, I'm sorry. We got to give our children the parents are Lord speech. Do you know who's boss in this house? And as our kids get older, they forget who's parent. So you just got to remind them, I am the dad. I have all control. That's the mom. She has all control given to us by God. You have no power. Remember that. You have no money. You have nothing. And what happens is one day we're going to see God and realize that he is God. If Jesus is not your Savior, let me tell you something. You will acknowledge him as God. There's not going to be any negotiating. It ain't going to be like, you know, you lobbying and getting, you know, a little impeachment thing going. He is going to be it. King of kings, Lord of lords. The second coming is when he comes to judge. The next one, a thousand-year reign. Thousand-year reign. Chapter 20, verse 1. These are all things still yet to come. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, I don't know what a bottomless pit looks like other than a pit with no bottom. Let's imagine the earth. I'm not saying the hell in the bottomless pit is in the middle of the earth, but just imagine this concept. That you have this round ball of the earth or something, and the core is middle, is round. You go down into it, you come down the top, you go into it. When you pass the middle, you're going up again, right? As soon as you pass the middle, you're going up. There's no bottom. Then when you get to the other side, that's top. Just throw that out there for you, something to think about. I have no idea if that's how it is. But when you think of the bottomless pit, you got to think outside the box. Look at this in verse 2. It says, he lay hold of the dragon, one name for the devil. That serpent of old, two names for the devil. That serpent that was in Genesis chapter 3. Remember, the serpent talked to the woman. Who is the devil and Satan, all the same character, and bound him for 1,000 years. He cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and the judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus Christ. Listen. John was given this vision. He was raptured, given this vision. He saw Satan bound for 1,000 years. He saw the souls of those who had lost their life for Christ. And it keeps going, other Christians. He describes all Christians. He didn't see their body. He didn't see their material things, their hair, how pretty they were, handsome, how in shape they were. He saw their souls. Imagine what a soul looks like, one, and imagine what a soul of someone who died for the gospel looks like versus a soul of someone who didn't even know the Bible. If you were to look at a lung of someone who died of lung cancer from smoking, and the lung of someone who lived to 100 years old because they were in shape, Jack Lane type guy. You'd have one soul that was dark brown and black with soot from smoking, and you'd have another lung that was pink. Imagine what your soul looks like to God. Now, please don't take this wrong, but simple questions about the Bible, you don't know. If you don't know those questions, how could you live it? How could you share it? You can't. So what does your soul look like? What does your commitment look like? What does your faith look like? Because God can see your faith. He can not only see what your faith does, he can see your faith. I don't understand that, but he can, because he's God. He's not limited to our abilities. And so John saw the soul. He's in heaven. He's seen all this stuff. Imagine seeing Satan bound. What does that look like? And then he sees the souls of people's heads who lost their heads because of the gospel. And look what it says. It says in verse 4, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus, the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Imagine. Now this is convicting to me too now. I'm not trying to make you feel bad because you couldn't do good in the quiz. I want you to seriously understand the spirit of what I'm saying, is that if we don't do the basic stuff Do you think you'll die for your faith? You won't. Because you won't. We won't even give up football. We won't even give up, you know, hanging out. We won't even give up menial things, a meal for the Lord. How are we going to give up our life? We won't. You won't. These people gave up their very lives. Imagine what their soul looks like. Imagine what their faith looks like. I can't imagine. There's a pastor in the Sudan. He memorized the whole New Testament. He's blind. He's blind. You know what God says to us? You can see. What have you done with your sight? How do you use your sight? How do you use your voice? In real estate, there's a term called highest and best use. Every property has the highest and best use. There's some properties that are zoned for commercial real estate. Don't even try to build houses there. Just build commercial. That's the highest and best use of the property. You appraise it based on its highest and best use according to how the city zoned it. So if the city says this land is supposed to be for education, it'll get a higher appraisal if you put a school on it than if you put a house. Try to put a house on it. Every single one of you have talents that has the highest and best use according to God. The highest and best use for this big mouth is this word. There's no question about it. Oh, yeah, I could go be a, you know, do Jay Leno thing. I could go be a comedian. I could go be a this. I could go be a that. I could be a salesman. I could be, you know, auction, and the highest and best use is right here. Are you using your talents and gifts as the highest and best use? It says here, he saw the souls. These people gave their lives. Look at verse 5. It says, the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. And this was the first resurrection. That's 1,000-year reign. Jesus is going to rapture the church. He's going to come back and judge. He's going to come back. And then he's going to reign for 1,000 years with no devil. And then there's going to be a great white throne judgment after that. The next one, great white throne judgment. Great white throne judgment. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. It says, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth, the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. God has books. You know the stuff I did as a kid? I remember that. Man, it was bad. There's stuff y'all did as kids that were bad. Amen? Some of the stuff I did last night was bad. God has books. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of unrighteousness. That he will remember your sin no more. He writes your name in the book of life. And he says, you know, I've chosen to forget your stuff. But you never asked me to forgive you. You know when someone treats you bad over and over again and they throw as a Christian, they say, you're a Christian, you're supposed to forgive me. No, you got to repent. God doesn't forgive people just because. God forgives people who repent. God, please forgive me. I repent. Okay, you're forgiven. But that means now you've given your life to me. God's not stupid. He's not a sucker. And so he has books. He has records. He knows everything. He doesn't. He's everything is now to him. You may be 50 years old, 40 years old, and you did this 30 years ago. To that, to God, that is now. God lives outside of time. Everything's the now to him. And so he has books. Look what it says in verse, I don't even know what verse I ended in. Verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. The sea is a multitude of people. It's not the ocean. And the death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each according to his works. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How do you get your name in the book of life? Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I acknowledge that you died on the cross and that it was predicted thousands of years before you were born, thousands. In Genesis 3:15, there's a prophecy about Jesus. It was predicted. All these circumstances about your life, and I believe you died and rose from death for my sin. Please forgive me of my sin. Please restore my soul. I want to be saved. If you're sincere, somehow, some angel, somehow does this with your name. And I wonder what name we get. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if the name that's in the book of life for me is not Miles. It's probably like a boom, shakalaka boom.
This is the name from before the foundations of the earth. I don't know what your mother was thinking, but this is the name.
I was named after Miles Davis, the jazz musician. I'm sure that wasn't God's plan. I mean, I'm sure that's not God's identity for me. His identity for you and me, I'm just guessing on this, that there's a name. And if that's true, I don't know what it is. I wonder what it is. I wonder what that is. Look what it says in next one, five, last one. Eternity, new heaven and new earth. My wife and I have not been faithful to have vacations regularly, just me and her. So as we go into our new year, we're saying every year from now on, you and I are going away, just me and you. You know what I'm saying? So we started talking about what kind of places we want to go. I said, listen, rule number one, none of these places will ever be cold. I have no love for cold weather. I says, it has to be sandy beach, clear water, no people that we know. People always say, hey, come visit us. Over here. I says, nope, I don't want to see you during this time. Oh, we won't bother you. Yes, you will. This is for me to look at my wife 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, talk to nobody else. So we just think back and go, Miss McPherson, you would like a lemonade? Yes. Nobody we know. I don't want to talk to nobody. And when I visualize that, that's not going to be as good as this. That's cursed. Hawaii, as beautiful as it is, cursed. Beach is cursed. What does that mean? That it's not as good as it was in Genesis, as good as it's going to be. Let's look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 21. Are you guys with me? 1 verse 8. Look what it says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Let me tell you something. Governments aren't going to pass away. Only. San Diego Chargers and NFL is not going to pass away. Only. The whole concept of Christmas is not going to only pass away. Everything you see, gone. God's going to start all over. I think the stars are pretty beautiful. I think the beaches are beautiful. I think the mountains are beautiful. I think snow is beautiful to look at. Sunrise, sunset, orange skies, fish, dolphins, whales, eagles, all that's beautiful. God says, no, you don't understand. Wait till you see the next one. I can't imagine. I can't conceptualize that. But let me tell you something. If he was born of a virgin, he rose from the dead and all that stuff, he says, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you ever inclined to say to God, it don't get any better than this, which I did one day in my heart, he said, don't ever insult me. He said, brother, you ain't seen nothing. I grew up in a very, very, very regular house. It was 3 bedrooms, 1 bath. Then my father added on. We got a second bathroom. We had 5, 7 people in the house, 5 kids, little tiny yard. And I loved that house. Today the house was boarded up, broke my heart, and went back there last summer. But just very, very basic. If I had to trade that, I would never trade it for anything. I would do it all over. I wish I could go back and relive a few of those days. And it was just basic. God says, let me tell you something. That is nothing. If you enjoyed that, I had 2 brothers. We all shared 1 room my whole life. All through high, there's 3 of us in this little tiny room. Bunk beds. I had my own bed. That was a big deal when I got my own bed. 3 of us in this room was funky. It was nasty. It was dirty. It was dirt and sand all over from my shoes and football practice on football uniforms. I loved that. I mean, that produced this. Man, we got to redo that whole program. God says, everything is gone. And a new heaven and new earth. Look what it says in verse 2. Then I, John, saw a new holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared for as a bride prepared for a husband. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, sorrow, crying. There shall be no more pain. The former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I'll make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, let me tell you something. He just said, this is true and faithful. Don't call me a liar in this. And he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give them a fountain of water, water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's coming. And later on, it talks about there'll be no sun because God will be their light. Let me tell you something before I end. In Genesis, God, on day one, says, let there be light. On day four, he creates the sun. On day one, let there be light. There's light. But the sun doesn't come till day four. Light does not come from the sun. It comes from God. Because you could have light, obviously, without the sun. But the whole concept of what light is and how it... We did a whole study on light and how God is light. Light is the only thing God created that he said he was. God is light. Nothing else he created that he said he was. But he created light. I mean, he said, let there be light on day one. Well, in Revelation, God's going to restore everything from Genesis before the sin. He's going to be our light. Now, if your head's spinning, you're tripping, I'm glad. You know why? Because I hope that, I see somebody else sitting there like this. I hope you go home and look all this stuff up to see if I'm telling you the truth. Go get a CD. And guess what? If you do that all week, you will learn this much. You will. Yeah, but here's the question. You believe all this stuff? Is Jesus going to come back? Is he going to rapture us up? Is he going to create everything new? If he did all that other stuff, I believe he's going to do this stuff. And if you believe that, are you ready? Because some of y'all in here may not be ready. You may think, you know what? I'm not saved. This is why we need to tell people about salvation. Because this stuff is going to happen. And sometimes you need to tell them about this so they get saved. That's why all these verses on here, all these charts and stuff, just read it. This is a month of you memorizing stuff and learning stuff. You want to learn the Bible? Just go do this. Do this. Don't even come to church anymore. Just do this. Once you do this, then come on back. I'm only kidding. Do this. You got more than enough work right here. But if you never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, let me encourage you, get ready. Because check this out. Nobody knows the hour. It could be tomorrow. It could be today. Some of y'all may think it's January 4th when you come here. And nobody's here. If you have never asked Christ to be your Savior, that means your name's not written in the book of life. If your name's not written in the book of life, we want to give you the opportunity for it to be written. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, you are unsearchable. But what fun it is to look for you. It's like playing hide and seek with your best friend. And every now and then you throw out a crumb so we can find something. But Lord, the day that we find you is the day it's over. The day that we see you as you are, the game is over. So I pray that today there will be some who would find you spiritually through salvation. If today you realize Jesus died for your sin and rose from the dead, and you realize your name's not written in the book of life, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I want Jesus to forgive me. I want my name written in the book of life. I believe he died and rose from the dead. Dear Jesus, please forgive me. I receive you today as my Savior. Thank you, Lord. If you prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up real high. We can see you and pray for you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Good. God bless you. You put your hands down. Lord, thank you for those people. And Lord, we pray that all of us would hunger and thirst for your word. That we would search the scriptures to see if these things be true. Lord, I pray you would stir people's hearts to read and study, memorize, and understand. And I pray, Lord, that we would be men and women of God. And that we would always remember, if you were faithful then, you're going to be faithful today. And you're going to be faithful tomorrow. Your name is faithful and true. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple things. One, we'll be here Christmas Eve. You have it in the bulletin. Bring a friend. As we walk out and sing, there are going to be people up here who want to pray for you. If you raise your hand, we want to give you something. We want to ask you to come on up as people are walking out. And have a Merry Christmas. See you Wednesday. Amen. Let's all stand and sing a song.